Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Welcome to Dan Steep Podcast. I'm Dan Steep. In this episode, we're going to be talking about impartation, the power of impartation. This is a lesson that I wish I had understood and learned a long time ago in my life and ministry. And I believe that if you apply yourself to the principles in this episode, you're going to find this to be a real blessing to you as well. It's really a game changer in so many ways. The power of impartation. I want to share, just to get started, just a few scriptures that kind of lay the foundation on this subject of impartation. In Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, the scripture says that Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. So this is an account of Ananias ministering to Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, through impartation. He ministered by laying his hands on him. He was filled with the Spirit, and instantly his sight was restored. That's the power of impartation. That's the first impartation that the Apostle Paul ever received in his life. Now, if we look at Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, this is that same Saul who is now called Paul. The same one who received this impartation from Ananias, the scripture says, "While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' he asked them. 'No,' they replied, 'we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' 'Then what baptism did you experience?' he asked. And they replied, 'The baptism of John.' Paul said, 'John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later,' meaning Jesus. 'As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them,'" so here is the power of impartation again. "'Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all.'" Now, 2 Timothy 1:6. This is now the Apostle Paul speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you." I don't want you to miss this. Ananias laid hands on Saul. Saul, that was his conversion experience, his impartational experience. He became the Apostle Paul, and he laid hands on people, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And now Paul is talking to his spiritual son, Timothy, about when the Apostle Paul laid his hands on him and imparted grace into Timothy's life. So that's basically like three generations spiritually of impartation: Ananias to Paul, Paul to Timothy. And of course, Ananias received his impartation from somewhere as well. So Paul says in Romans 1:11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Who you are connected to matters. I heard someone say one time that you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. If that's true, who you spend time with is of utmost importance. It's okay to spend time and have relationship with people who maybe don't have a lot of impartational value into your lives, but you have to make sure that you have a healthy ratio of people that you're spending time with, because you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Connection, impartation matters. In Philemon, the Apostle Paul was speaking, and he appeals to Philemon on behalf of someone named Onesimus. This is in Philemon 10 and 11. And in Philemon 10 and 11, let me just read that for you. Here we go. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith. So this means that the Apostle Paul had an impartational impact or effect on Onesimus' life. He says, show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Verse 11 says, Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. So this is a man whose name, the actual name, the literal name Onesimus means useful. Onesimus means useful. But apparently, the one whose name was useful had been very useless. That's why the Apostle Paul said, Onesimus hasn't been much use to you in the past, but he says, now he is very useful to both of us. Something happened in Onesimus's life. What took him from useless to useful? It seems clear from Scripture that the difference in his life is that he met the Apostle Paul. And he connected with him to the point that Paul refers to him as his child, and he refers to Paul as his father in the faith. Impartation happened. Paul made significant impartation into Onesimus' life, and that's what took the man whose name is useful but was called useless, and then he was impacted through the impartational ministry of the Apostle Paul and became what his name actually means, which is useful. Now, I've learned to humble myself and run to impartation from people who are already at the place or the level where I'm going. I have a vision of where God is taking me and what he wants to do in my life and in my ministry. Now I look out and I see other people who, as I like to say, they're running faster and jumping higher than me in this realm. And I've learned to run to those people and receive impartation from those people. The key to it all is humility. If you're not humble, you'll never receive impartation. I'm reminded, it's spoken of in James and in Peter, where it says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. I need grace. In fact, charis is the Greek word for grace. And you put that together with the Greek word for gifts, which is mata, and you have grace gifts. And that charismata or charismatic, that's when we speak about the gifts of the Spirit. These spiritual gifts, they're all grace gifts. And I need extra grace in my life. I need everything that God has for me. So I must humble myself, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humility is the key to receiving impartation. What will impartation do? Well, when you look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul, we see in Acts chapter 19, in verse 11, it says that the Apostle Paul, many unusual miracles happened at the hands of the Apostle Paul. That always catches my eye, because I think, what does it take for your miracle to be classified as unusual, when a miracle by definition is unusual? But it says in Acts 19:11, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. That's what impartation will do. It moved the Apostle Paul to one through whom unusual miracles took place. In Acts 16, he delivered someone of demonic oppression. As we already read in Acts 19, verses 1 to 7, he imparted the Holy Spirit to believers that had not received it. These are the things that you can receive and then turn around and impart to others in your life and ministry. So it matters who you're connected to, the people you spend the most time with. It matters who is speaking into your life. We are to emulate the people who have obtained the promises of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Or, "Follow me as I follow Christ." In other words, if you want to have the results I have, do what I do. Let's look at an Old Testament example of impartation. In 2 Kings chapter 2, I want to read with you verses 7 through 15. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 7 through 15. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit and become your successor." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared. I skipped verse 10. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." And as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried away by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him. "Sir," they said, "just say the word, and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha said, "don't send them." But they kept urging him until they shamed him into agreeing. Finally, he said, "All right, send them." So 50 men searched for 3 days, but did not find Elijah. So here's the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah asked Elisha what he desired, and he told him, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God in you. And it's very interesting. Elijah told him, you're going to have to be with me when I'm taken away. And so Elisha stayed glued to the hip of Elijah. And here's what's very interesting when you look at the ministry of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah performed 8 miracles that are recorded in Scripture in his ministry. Guess how many miracles Elisha performed? 16. Exactly double. He actually performed 15 miracles, and then he performed one post-mortem when a dead person was laid on his bones and was raised back to life. So isn't that kind of cool to think about when you think about impartation? Elijah's last miracle became Elisha's first miracle. The last miracle Elijah did was strike the water and it parted, right, with his cloak. And that became the first miracle that Elijah did. So he built, his successor built upon his success. The story tells us that after Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, Elisha cried out, and then he went back to the river and took the cloak, and he performed the same miracle. So Elijah's first miracle was the same as Elijah's last miracle. He had indeed received an impartation from Elijah of a double portion of his spirit. Think about it this way. What it took Elijah his whole ministry to get to, Elisha started his ministry at that level. That's the power of impartation. Now, impartation, it's all about humility and honor. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the scripture says, therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. In other words, he's saying, I know what you've been promised. I know what I promised your forefathers. But I'm going to honor those who honor me. And I will despise those who think lightly of me. So basically, don't take for granted what's been promised to your forefathers. Honor me, and I will honor you. We see the same in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. The Shunammite woman. She saw the prophet passing by, she said to her husband, let's build a room on so that he can stop and be refreshed in his travels. She honored a man of God. And by extension, God honored her. She received 3 notable miracles, all because she honored a man of God. This is the power of impartation. She received a boy. She had no children. That boy later was raised to life. He was raised from the dead. And then later, after they had lost everything from the famine, all of their property was restored to them. All because she honored a man of God. God says, I will honor those who honor me. And that is a great illustration. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. Of honoring God by honoring God's people. She honored the prophet. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 says this, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. I'm going to repeat that again because it's easy to miss. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. In other words, whatever good you do for someone else, you're going to receive the same from the Lord. What you make happen for other people, God will make happen for you. So receive impartation and give impartation. If you recognize that you need greater impartation in your life, here's a couple practical things that you should do. First of all, make impartation into other people's lives. At whatever level you're at, make impartation into other people's lives. Because what you'd make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Practical tip number two, and we've hit on this already, humble yourself. You can't receive if you're proud and you think you already have everything that you need. So you must walk in the path of humility. Remember, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. But here's some practical ways that you can receive impartation. You can receive impartation from the preached word. Many times, most times, I've received impartation either from the preached word or reading the word of God and receiving revelation and impartation from it. So preaching and teaching, you receive impartation by serving. That's Ephesians 6:8 right there. Whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. So be a servant. Goes back to humility. Another way to receive impartation, let me just labor that point a little bit longer. If you're serving under a man or woman of God, and you're serving in whatever capacity to help them, assist them, to help them accomplish the vision and the mission God's given them, that has impartational value into your own life. When you do that in humility, you're in a position to receive. Another obvious way that you receive impartation, as we've seen in Scripture, is by the laying on of hands. That's why you have to be careful. If you attend some kind of sterile church that never actually lays hands on people for prayer, for impartation, I'm just going to say it clear. You need to find another church. Ask the Lord. He'll direct you. Holy Spirit will show you where you can go and find a life-giving Bible teaching, preaching, and practicing church. Even through my own ministry, God work through me and bring healing into people's bodies and lives without me ever touching them or laying hands on them. But it's very clear in Scripture that that is one of the ways that healing prayer is ministered, by the laying on of hands. James tells us, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Right? They'll anoint you with oil. The righteous prayer, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much, or is powerful and effective. But we're talking about impartation. Honor. Sowing financial seed into ministries that have an impartational value into your life and ministry. But number one, it all starts with humility. You must be humble. A humble person will recognize their need for impartational ministry into their life. If you'll do these things, I'm telling you, where you start will not be where you finish. And wherever you finish, that will be the starting point for people who follow after you. What you start with will not be what you finish with. So where you start will not be where you finish, and what you start with will not be what you finish with. God's kingdom is based upon increase. We move from faith to faith, glory to glory, victory to victory. Amen. And I'm believing that for your life and for your ministry. Humble yourself and avail yourself to the power of impartation. And the greatest impartation that ever happened in the world was the impartation that God made to us through Jesus Christ. He made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of him. He took our sin so that we could take his righteousness unto ourselves. That's the gospel message. And all you have to do to receive that impartation is recognize that you've sinned, repent of your sin, and by faith receive the free gift of salvation offered through Jesus Christ. Recognize. I have to recognize that the number one thing that's killing me is my sin. And my sin is not just affecting me, it's actually impacting and killing the people around me. And the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So recognize your sinfulness. Then repent. Number two. Repent of your sin. Jesus said, and you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. To repent simply means to change. Change your mind. Change your direction. Change your lifestyle. It's to turn away from a life of sin and turn toward Jesus Christ and his free offer of salvation. After you've recognized and repented, all that's left to do is receive, which is simply to commit your heart to him by faith. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'd like to offer a simple prayer of salvation right now. And if you'll repeat this prayer of salvation after me, from a place of sincerity in your heart, you can receive that impartation of salvation that God offers through Jesus Christ right now. And from that point, you have the opportunity to continue to move and increase from faith to faith, glory to glory, and victory to victory. Would you pray that prayer with me? Let's pray it right now. Repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent of my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. You're my newest brother or sister in Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you prayed that prayer with me, you called upon the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's word, you're saved. You're born again. And you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. And if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to know who you are. Please go to our website at revivalnow.com. Revivalnow.com. You'll find a big red button on the front page that says, I just got saved. Click that button, and it'll give you the opportunity to fill out your contact information. And if you'll fill out your contact information, we're going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. And we're going to pray for you by name. And that's all that we'll do. While you're on our website, you can subscribe to our free newsletter. It's completely free, but you'll have to do that on your own because we don't do anything else with your information other than send resources to you and pray for you. So go to revivalnow.com, click I Just Got Saved, and follow the prompts from there. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I trust that the power of impartation has even taken place as you've listened to this episode. I trust it's been a blessing to you. You can be a blessing to me by sharing this podcast with all your friends and helping us by sharing that and helping us get good biblical teaching out across this world. So thank you so much. I love you. Until next time, be blessed. In Jesus' name.